This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. We're talking about soccer today. The FIFA Club World Cup is underway. The FIFA World Cup itself is coming to the U.S. in 2026, with the final to be played at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford. Major League Soccer is continuing to grow. It is an exciting time for soccer fans. Leader of the Graham family's investment in Major League Soccer through the Philadelphia Union franchise, Richie Graham is actively involved in building the highly regarded Union Academy program and founded YSC Academy, an innovative and first-of-its-kind soccer-specific school for elite soccer players from grades 6 through 12. Richie Graham is arguably one of the biggest investors on every level in U.S. soccer. And he's our guest today on Sports Jam. Richie, great to see you.
Thank you, Doug. I'm happy to be on the show and look forward to chatting soccer.
And the final whistle goes here in San Jose. The United States taking 5-0 over Trinidad and Tobago in the opening match of Group D play here in the 2025 CONCACAF Gold Cup.
It is a super time to be involved in soccer. You have to be thrilled. Let's first start out what's going on. You had five Union Academy kids playing against Trinidad just the other night.
Yeah, that was exciting to see. Five boys that we started out with us when they were, most of them 8 and 9 years old. So to watch them grow and express themselves in the game has been really fun to watch.
So now with the FIFA Club World Cup underway, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the World Cup itself. We're going to talk about the Philadelphia Union and MLS. I'd like to start with the Philadelphia Union because the team is leading the MLS right now, not just the Eastern Conference, but the most points in the entire league. That has to get you pumped.
Yeah, super excited. Coach, Bradley has come in and has done an amazing job, and the guys are playing incredibly well. Things are looking really good for the club. And it's always Jim Curtin was an amazing coach and he was with us for 10 years, but it was time for a change. And you never know in those moments of transition what will happen. But we feel really fortunate with the commitment and energy level with Bradley and sort of how he's grabbed this group of guys and pulled them together. And the culture's strong and they have a clear idea of how they want to play. The game model is very focused. So it's been a fun season to watch. A lot to happen. So we're only partway through. So, but it's been very exciting.
Raffaello. Inviting ball in away by Trivet. Westfield underneath it. Sullivan. Anderson! With so many away. International duty. It's the stand-in who stands out in the dying embers of the game with a first ever goal in Major League Soccer.
Philadelphia have continued to push and press and brought in young players from Union 2, giving them their chance with so many players on international duty, and they just fight to keep this play alive. And Anderson does so well here to come across this. It's on the bounce. Kevin Sullivan strikes through it, misses it, and then across comes Anderson. He does well to strike down on it. And in the back of the net, you never forget your first goal in MLS, and what a time to do it. In the 98th minute to give Philadelphia all 3 points.
Winning breeds success. It also breeds fan involvement. How happy have you been with the Philadelphia Union fans and how the season has just progressed?
The Philadelphia Union was really founded by the fan base. The Sons of Ben, the supporter group, were instrumental in bringing an MLS franchise to Philadelphia. So we've been blessed with a pretty passionate, Philly fan base. They let you know when things aren't going well, but when things are going well, they also let you know. But we've had tremendous, success. Our stadium is packed and it's really one of the great environments in MLS. And it's a little not really well-known secret that, our club has been over the last 5 years, if you looked at all teams in MLS, we have the most points of any team in MLS. So, we've got a model, we're sticking to it. And it's nice to see it sort of play out with success on the field.
Richie, before we talk about the state of soccer, let's talk a little bit about you. Why are you so passionate about this game?
Well, I love the game. I was a soccer player growing up in a different era. I was also a competitive ski racer and had a chance to play college soccer under a coach by the name of Bobby Clark at Dartmouth. Bobby went on to Stanford later as a coach in Notre Dame, where he won a national championship. And he was a real special person. He's still a big part of my life and influenced me in a big way. Just grew passionate about the game, and especially about the idea around development, and looking at the fact that the United States hasn't traditionally had top 10, top 20 players in the world on the men's side. On the women's side, of course, we've been dominant, but on the men's side, we haven't. So I started to ask those questions and say, why is that? Is there something in the water over here? And no, of course, there's nothing in the water. It's all about creating learning environments and the right coaching, and giving the amazing athletes we have the right opportunity to learn the game, and that's really what a big part of the Philadelphia Union model has been focused on, that vision of producing the future of the game, and that starts with the youth. And I think in the United States, we have a very big upside, massive population, great infrastructure. The quality of coaching is getting better, even from the youth levels all the way through the professional levels. All of that's adding to sort of produce more and more players. We're seeing that on the international stage. I mean, today's men's national team has a lot of players that are playing in the top clubs in the world. When I graduated out of college in 91, and the early 90s, there were maybe three or four U.S. national team players that were playing in the top leagues in the world. So there's been a tremendous growth, and I'm a big believer in the quality of the American player. We just have to give them, we have to invest in them and give them an environment to flourish.
When you got your Bachelor of Arts from Dartmouth, did you have any idea that you would be sticking with this game at this point in your career?
No, I didn't. I really, what wasn't focused on that as like a vision, but as I got closer to the youth side of the sport, through my kids and kind of seeing what was going on, I was like, there's a need for focusing on development in the right way. And I'm a big believer in winning, and winning matters, but if there's too much focus on winning at too young of an age, you take the love out of the game and the fun out of the game. And so, I really thought that there were some opportunities to sort of create an environment where you could focus on, number one, love of the game, passion for the game, and with that, the kids have the toolbox within them to sort of really expand and grow. If you get too serious too fast, it's not fun for kids. And whether that's soccer or baseball or basketball, it's the same. So you have to be really smart about those learning environments that we create to create a passionate environment. So, as soon as I started to lock in on some of those ideas, then I couldn't let go of the bone and really started to go after it in a bigger way.
I'm so glad that you mentioned about, first of all, every parent feels that their young kid, whether it be any sport, is going to make it to the professional level. And we know that's not the case. But yet you don't want to, smash their dreams too early, but you have to make it fun for these kids. Can you tell us a little bit more about that model and why it's been successful?
Well, I don't believe that you can solve elite player development in this country and in any sport without also solving the education. So, you need to sort of do both. And so the idea was to launch a high school for elite soccer players. And if you want to be a world class in anything, whether it's the arts or soccer or a musician, you need a special environment where you can, come in the morning, you can train, you can go to school, and you can train in the afternoon. And that's what YSC Academy provides, a very unique environment where the education and the sport can be aligned, and they're not fighting against each other, but they're actually aligned, and your schedule can be worked so that you can pursue your passion in your sport. And so, the reason it's been so successful, I would say, is the center of the bullseye is culture, culture, culture. And We have some tenants that are a part of YSC Academy, which are also a part of the Philadelphia Union, which are, you know, we really believe that the student athlete should own their education, that they should be the builder of their education, both on the field and in the classroom, meaning that they take ownership of their learning, and education or learning isn't something that's done onto them. We actually, you know, bring them into that and say, let's do this together. And so that culture piece is a really powerful point. We our head of school that we've had from the very beginning, Dr. Nuha Ahmed Lee, is an incredible individual who's really created a special environment. But what's happening in the classroom, you know, translates to on the field, and what happens on the field translates to in the classroom. So it's a really nice environment, and I think the culture is a big piece that if you spoke to a Brennan Aronson or a Mark McKenzie, some of the kids that are boys that are playing for the U.S. men's national team right now in the Gold Cup, I think they would tell you about YSC as a cultural experience. And you know, I'm really proud about what has developed there. We've had some 150 graduates now. Many have gone on to sign professional contracts, but most have gone on to use their soccer to get an education and to go on to get a scholarship and play D1 soccer. So there's been some amazing stories of kids that, you know, use their soccer to get an education, and that was a life transformational opportunity for them and their families. So we've had some great success with the school, and we keep on pounding away.
Brendan Aronson cutting in field. Aronson going for goal and scoring! Brendan Aronson off the bench gives the United States a fourth on the day and a reason to reignite the crowd.
Everybody wants to win the World Cup. Everybody wants the U.S. men's national team to be a success. You've talked about, you know, the women. We have people like jerseys like Allie Krieger and Trinity Rodman behind me. People are used to the women winning when it comes to, and the question always comes out, how far are we away, Richie, from seeing the men reaching the ultimate pinnacle, the U.S. men's team, in World Cup play?
We're going to win the World Cup in 26 now. look, I think we have players that are contributing for some of the top clubs in the world, and the number of those players that are, you know, plying their trade in the top European clubs is, you know, has grown dramatically from, let's start, you know, 1994. Like I said, there was probably three or four U.S. men's national team players that were playing in the top leagues in Europe. You know, today you have over 30 that are in the top leagues. You have many, many more Americans that are playing, you know, abroad, if you kind of looked at the total number, but I'm just talking about the top leagues. And so, you know, there's been growth, there'll continue to be growth. I think MLS is a big part of that, as is youth soccer. You know, the quality of the education that our kids are getting in this country is improving dramatically. You know, when I was young, there weren't really many adults that knew much about soccer. You know, today you have young parents that are volunteering that may have played college soccer and really understand the game. And, you know, they're able to pass on the skills and the techniques, you know, in those golden learning years, right? 6 through 12 for any sport is so important. So I believe that investment in development and creating these spaces is important. Investment in coaching education and environments. But MLS has done a tremendous job, and it's really only within the last 10 years that MLS has kicked its, you know, academy program up and into overdrive. And those academy programs, the vast majority of them, are 100% free of cost. Like everything with the Philadelphia Union is free of cost. You know, so we don't have that barrier for a kid that, like, I can't afford it because I can't do the travel, you know. So I think we're headed in the right direction. You know, we are the sort of American culture. We want our, you know, fast food in 5 minutes or less, right? So, you know, we are impatient, and that impatience is a good thing. But I think we have a ways to go, but the signs are really, really good. The trends and trajectories, if you just look at the standard of the average American player, it's gone up. And there's no reason that we can't produce Messi's and Cristiano Ronaldo's on the men's side. We're already doing it on the women's side. But there's no reason that we can't do that. And you know, I will just say one last thing is if you come to an MLS Next showcase event, 10 years ago, when that was the U.S. Soccer Developmental Academy League, the vast majority of scouts were college. Today, all the colleges are there, of course, at the MLS Next showcase, but you have a lot of foreign scouts. I mean, it's hard to walk anywhere without bumping into a foreign scout. That just shows you that, you know, the world is looking over here and they're seeing talent. And, you know, we have an amazing athletes. We have a winning mentality in the United States. And so I don't think it's long before we're able to produce some top level players that are, you know, amongst the big names, you know, of the sport.
Red Bulls lead Columbus. Henry this time has the option. Conde is there if he opts to play it short. Henry instead. Off woodwork and in! Henry from the impossible angle has put it home. His second goal of the night. And oh my, one for the highlight reel.
This is not an accident. When Conde came over to the ball, Thierry Henry knew exactly what he was trying to do. That was no effort to play that ball out. He was going for goal from the moment he looked Conde off. Set play, Thierry Henry looks up, new goalkeeper. He was cheating to the near post. Thierry Henry, that's what he's going for.
You mentioned Messi, and we can go all the way back to Henry, and we can go back to Beckham coming and playing in the MLS. Do they help the U.S. soccer by doing that, or is it pretty much for their career to wrap it up? Have they really helped develop, and do they concentrate on helping develop the U.S. players while they're here?
I think they do, and the reason is that, you know, when you bring in some of these foreign players, they lift the bar that the American player has to jump over to get on the pitch. And that's helpful. You know, I can tell you at the Philadelphia Union, we have a real tradition and history of playing youth and developing, you know, players through the system. But you know, that they still have to jump over that hurdle. And when you bring in foreign players, you know, it raises the level, especially the stars, when you're talking about, you know, a Messi who is still producing on the international level. I mean, he's older, but he's able to produce. The way I describe it is maybe when he was younger, he, you know, have 15, you know, significant impacts in a game. Today, he might only have two or three, but they could be two goals, right? Or three goals, right? So, you know, he's still able to make an impact. But I do think they help. I think there's a balance there. You can't go too far. You know, you have to sort of provide a space for the American players to sort of develop. But in my view, it actually helps.
For somebody like myself, who has never played the game, doesn't understand all of the strategy of the game, I continue to learn. My son-in-law, Joe, now has me rooting for Arsenal in the Premier League, right? So I'm watching those matches. But I have to be honest with you. When I watch MLS and I watch Premier League, I can tell sometimes who's an elite player, but I can't always tell you who's a great player and who's not from just being a novice at the sport. Where do we lack? What skills do we lack in either the MLS or at the youth level or U.S. soccer to compare to the European leagues?
Yeah, I think let's go to hockey for a second and let's think about what made Gretzky so good. Gretzky wasn't the biggest, the strongest, or, you know, necessarily the fastest skater, but his game IQ, his vision was, you know, unparalleled. And I think the future of soccer players in America are you know, we have incredible athletes, but it's that cognitive player that sees what's happening around them. You know, soccer is a sport where it's like a Tom Brady. If he drops back and he, you know, is able to, in his prime, look and he sees the field in an instant and he makes the right decision 9 times out of 10, right? Soccer is like that every time you get the ball. At the higher levels, the space gets tighter and tighter and the decisions need to be faster and faster. So developing cognitive players that think faster and see the field, that's kind of, you know, where things are moving. And I think when you look in general, you know, and maybe it's because they're so immersed into the culture of the game and growing up around the game, you know, you find some of the European players are, you know, and this is a, I'm making a general comment here, so this isn't, you know, applicable for all American players or all European players, but in general, sort of that game IQ is a little higher. And, you know, but that's changing in the US again, as these developmental systems are coming in, MLS Next and the academy systems, and you're creating high level environments for learning. You know, the game IQ is growing here in the US, but it's something where, you know, we're not getting outrun or out jumped. You know what I mean? We're not getting, you know, effort. It's not like we don't give as much effort, you know, but that the technical skills, like we've closed the gap on the technical skills, you know. My era, you know, there were a few top level American players who could, you know, that were technically on that level. But today there's many more that are have closed the skill gap. And if I took you to watch some of the little Union juniors who are 9 and 10 years old at, you know, over in Chester at our, you know, at our setup, you would be amazed. You know, they're so good. So we've caught up on the skill side, but I still feel like on the game intelligence, the soccer IQ piece, the cognitive thinking, we have some ground to cover. And you know, that's for me going to be the difference maker.
Your analogy to Tom Brady really helps me because I think of Joe Montana, because I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. And when he was at Notre Dame, I don't think anybody, we knew he was a winner, right? But I don't think anybody knew that when he went to the 49ers, he would become this, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But he did have that vision. He never really had a strong arm, but he could see the field. So that helps me to, you know, when the way you've described it really helps me understand the game so much more. And so, as we are with the FIFA Club World Cup, what should we be paying attention to? What should the fans who are getting ready for the FIFA World Cup in 2026, what should we be watching? Who should we be watching, and why?
Well, first you want to watch Team USA, right? You know, and support our country and those players. But the World Cup is you know, it's kind of a sleeping giant a little bit in the States. You know, there's a lot of folks that aren't soccer people that don't know much of, you know, they know it might be coming or they know a little bit about it. But when it's here, I think it will be very fun, because it's not just what makes the World Cup special is not just what happens on the field, but off the field. And you know, the Dutch fans and you know, the Italians and you know, just the whole sort of environment around the World Cup is similar to an Olympics. It's very festive. So that sort of world party is going to come to North America, and I think, you know, people will love that, and it's fun. And so there's an energy around the World Cup, and as it builds, it's, you know, it's a tournament where, you know, it's like a knockout tournament, like in March Madness or something. You know, as you get further along, the drama and the stakes are going up, and you know, and there are always seemingly new players that arrive on the world scene that no one ever heard about, and there's whether the stars are producing. So there's all the drama that comes along with that in a World Cup that I think will be really fun. So it will be fun to tune into, even if you're not a full-time soccer player, just to sort of catch sort of that energy. I believe, you know, from teams to watch out for, I mean, there's some, you know, there's some amazing teams anywhere, but Spain, for one, for me, they've got some very young players who are very dynamic. You know, you can never count out Brazil. They, you know, in terms of talent, they've struggled in years, but yeah, it's going to be a very fun experience, and you know, it also will lift the sport. You know, we saw that in 94 when the World Cup came to the United States. It really lifted the sport, and MLS launched a couple of years after, and you know, it will have a massive impact on the sport, and will help to lift the sport. And it's already, as we know, soccer is already growing, and it's, you know, that growth is being fueled by the younger, you know, demographics. So Gen Z, Gen Alpha, the Hispanic demographic is a massive supporter and a growing supporter. So, you know, you have those growth trends that are already existing in the marketplace, and now you're going to have a World Cup coming in. I think it really will give a bump to the sport at every level, which will even be felt down at the local level because kids are going to want to go do it. And so I'm really excited for it. I think it will be a great event.
As you're well aware, because Philly is just, a hop, skip, and a jump from New Jersey. And when it comes to the Ironbound community here in New Jersey, in Newark, they have been football crazy. And when the World Cup comes, all you have to do is go to an establishment and it is jammed. They are rooting for Portugal. They're rooting for their respective teams. And it's insane how the World Cup feeling is. Now with the World Cup coming to the finals being played at MetLife Stadium, it's going to be an opportunity for not only the fans who are crazy, but as you mentioned, people who are just learning about the game. It's going to light a fire, there's no doubt. Could the fact that we have the World Cup coming to the U.S. and to the finals in New Jersey, do you see that really producing down the line? That's what you're all about, is training young kids. Is this going to speed up the progression of possibly us catching up to the rest of the world?
I think it helps in that, if you think about kids and sport, they identify with heroes and they fall in love with heroes and they go out in the backyard and they pretend, whether it's baseball or football or soccer, that they're that hero. So, bringing sort of the world's best onto our local, our local stage, I think is going to be very inspiring. And, how many times have we heard the story in sports? And again, not just in soccer, of like, I went to a baseball game, when I was young, and, 24 years later, that guy's winning a World Series, right? Or whatever it might be. So there is, I think a reality around sort of the inspirational element for young kids that will really help. That's what I mean by that lift. I think it sort of just provides energy into the ecosystem, which I think is going to be beneficial. We're still, while we've been at soccer for many years, we're still quite new in terms of, the learning environments that I was speaking about, where, you have coaches that are focused on development at, U9, not focused only exclusively on winning. We're still kind of learning our coaching education piece, and it's gotten so much better than even in the 10 years I've been an investor in an MLS. It's just incredible. The local clubs in the Philadelphia region are the ones that are producing the talent that then come into the Union Academy. So it's all interconnected,
For soccer coming up on 6 years now, what do you want to tell us about branding and business related, because you're involved in this whole investment idea of the sport? What would you like to say about For Soccer?
Yeah, well, For Soccer is an agency that works with, that essentially helps brands connect with the American soccer consumer. And, as I was in the weeds on the player development, thinking about how do we produce a Michael Jordan? How do we, what do we need to do? And there's the school and there's the Union Academy and all that stuff. I started to think like, that's everything that I'm talking about there is inside the white lines. But equally important is everything that happens outside the white lines, the storytelling around sport, the intersection of fashion, music, and culture, and how fans engage with the sport. It's not always just like to see the highlights. And so I had the idea to launch For Soccer and went out and found much smarter and brighter people to sort of go run it. So I'm not involved in the business on a day, day in and day out, but they essentially work with brands to guide them, to sort of say, here's how you can connect with this American soccer consumer. And there are many different flavors of American soccer consumer, right? So, this group has expertise and has done some incredible things working with big brands to help do the storytelling side of the sport, and that's equally important. For me, it's the North Star is if we want to elevate the sport in this country, we have to do all the player development stuff, we have to do the coaching education stuff, inside the white lines, but we also have to think about how we market the sport and how we make it more accessible and how we tell stories around it. to connect with brands. And there's a lot of brands that are already looking at the sport and saying, wow, we want to connect with that young consumer. And we know that they care about soccer. So soccer seems like a good vehicle. Help us figure out how we can reach that consumer through some type of soccer activation. And that's what For Soccer does.
Here's Donovan blasting it. Oh, my goodness. Landon Donovan with a rocket.
Before I let you go, the Mount Rushmore of U.S. soccer, according to Richie Graham, would be what four players, and who's that player that's edging his way into Mount Rushmore?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one. I'd have to say, for me, you have to have Landon Donovan for sure. Oh gosh, it's so difficult for me to name just, one or two players. But let me put it this way: we don't have a Mount Rushmore yet, So we're in the game of trying to create those environments to develop that. And I think the come back to me and let's do this in 20 years. And then let me answer that question. Because I think at that time, we'll have some names that we can, that put up there. And that's not to knock any of the incredible players that we've had that have sort of built the pathway for these young players now. But rather than singling out like, one or two or three or four, I just sort of say, let's, my focus is on like, what can we all do to create an environment that gives these talented youth players, whether it's on the boys' side or the girls' side, an opportunity to become that new superstar. So that's where my focus is.
And that's a fair answer. So I will accept that, Richie. I do have one other quick question. We had Tim Howard on the show not that long ago. Goalkeepers, how do you know who's a good goalkeeper? I mean, how do you develop goalkeepers? I mean, what are you looking for? And are we okay for the United States as we head into the World Cup when it comes to goalkeepers? Because there's so much pressure on them, much like goaltenders in hockey.
Yeah, well, I think goalkeepers are the farthest back. So they see the entire field. So they need a commanding presence, and they can, the best goalkeepers figure out a way to save a shot before it's even taken because they've repositioned their defense. And so they need that commanding presence. They need to be, technically there's the shot stopping capabilities that you would see like in a hockey. But then distribution is also really important, meaning that, it used to be that goalkeepers could pick everything up with their hands and now they have to use their feet. So having a goalkeeper that not only can make those, incredible diving saves and, tip a ball out from going into the upper 90, they need to also now be able to use their feet. And in a lot of ways, they're starting your attack, right? So that distribution and those skill sets. So when you come back to how do you develop that, you got to also look at profiles. It's difficult to be a high level goalkeeper probably at 5'1", right? So you need that height and strength to be on those corner kicks. You're in the mix. You're able to grab and snag the higher balls. You have the big arm like wingspan. So there is some profiles that you'll look at, and then you develop the footwork and the distribution skills, and you develop the shot stopping so that's how you sort of what you look for and how you develop it.
Well, because of investors like Richie Graham, the U.S. continue to get closer to the European play and continue to have success with the Philadelphia Union and the MLS. And more importantly, kids are learning about the right way to approach the game. Have fun first and then continue to grow. And Richie, I think that's what you do best. And I appreciate that as seeing youth groups in all sports. The kids need to have fun so they don't burn out too early. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I know that you're going to be just loving what's happening on the pitch all around you in the next year or so and beyond. Thanks for joining us on Sports Gen.
Thank you so much, Doug. I really enjoyed it. Have a good day.
Sports. Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out this week to Joe Favorito for hooking us up with Richie Graham. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.